Last week we talked about Isaac and Rebecca and his life. And Isaac and Rebecca had twins. And Rebecca could not have children. She was barren like her mother-in-law was. But Isaac prayed to God that she would be able to have children, and she did. And she had twins. And it says in the womb, they even wrestled together, the twins, in the womb. How many's had twins before? Anybody in here? You had them. Did they wrestle in your womb, or was they pretty docile? Pretty docile? Yeah. Yeah. They wrestled out. And been fighting ever since, huh? Did they? Well, it was so bad that Rebecca even asked to die. She was the constant wrestling. And it says even they were jockeying for a position, even as when they were born, that Jacob grabbed a hold of his brother's heel as he was being born. That's so unusual. There's so much stuff in the Bible that is not even mentioned, you know. And then they mentioned this. It's amazing what God wanted us to read. Jacob's name is translated as "he deceives." So anybody named Jacob, her name means "he deceives." They go, "Oh wow!" When Rebecca asked God what was happening to her, God told her that there were two nations in her womb, and that they would fight amongst each other, even in the womb. But after, they would be fighting each other. One would be stronger than the other, and the older would serve the younger. And you find that in Genesis chapter 25, verse 23. But Jacob and Esau grew up together, living a nomadic life. They lived out in tents. Esau was a hunter. He loved to be outside in the country, and Jacob was content to stay at home among the tents, it says in verse 27. And so Esau, being a hunter, would always bring Isaac back food. He would prepare the food, kill the food, prepare it, and bring it back to Isaac, because Isaac loved the wild game that Isaac would bring. While Jacob was favored by his mother, and then Isaac was favored by his father. And favoritism, we talked a little bit about that last week. Favoritism in the family can hurt a family. So we have to be very careful not to favor one child over the other. Sometimes it's easy to do it, because if you have a very docile child that never causes you trouble, you just kind of gravitate towards them. Where if you have one that's active and seems to be the one that gets in trouble all the time, it seems like that's the one you have to be on all the time. And it's tough. And so as a parent, we have to be very careful not to show favoritism with our kids. And I have to say, probably when my kids were growing up, Leslie gravitated towards her dad, and Jeffrey gravitated towards me. And when they became teenagers, it was it didn't happen that way. They were more both of us, but when they were little, that's the way it kind of did. So David wasn't as hard on Leslie as I was, and he was harder on Jeffrey than I was, and I babied Jeffrey. So he babied Leslie, and that's what's caused all her problems, and I babied Jeffrey, and that's what's caused all of his problems. So anyway, I was going to talk about at the very beginning, and I just, today's been kind of wild. So we really probably need to do some breathing lessons, okay? Just to stress out, get the stress out of it. And I also forgot to say, we do not have a nursery worker for Sunday morning for the church services. The one that was going to do it, their child is sick. If anybody would volunteer, that would be great for services today. And if you do, let Leslie know. Anyway, if you had a business or you wanted a job done and you were going to pick somebody for that job or hire them, would you hire somebody that was a liar and you knew they were a liar? Would you hire somebody that had deceived somebody, cheated somebody, somebody that was self-centered, is all about them? Would that be the person that you hire? No. But that's exactly what God has done with Abraham. He was a deceiver. He lied about his wife being his sister. That's what we had with Isaac. Isaac lied about his wife being his sister, and really was a cousin on that one. I don't think Abraham really lied because that was his half-sister. But anyway, it was being deceitful. We'll find out that Jacob is going to be a little self-centered with himself. He's going to be a deceiver, and that's what his name means, deceived. He will deceive his father. So sometimes we're reminded that God's ways are not our ways. You know, if God looked at all of us and he can look at our heart and see what our heart really is, I mean, we may have a picture of the greatest Christian. You know, everybody thinks that we never do anything wrong, but God looks at the heart and sees something there. He still uses us. He still has a plan for us. He still has something that he wants us to do. And even though these men that we are studying and women have faults and have things characteristics that are not pleasing at times, God still can use them. And he did use them. He carried out the promise, and this promise that he is going to make them a great nation was carried out, even though they were imperfect. So we're going to find out today that even as we go on, Jacob is imperfect as well. Esau will marry two Hittite women, which is women from Canaan, and they made life miserable for Isaac and Rebekah. So right there was contention already in the family. I don't know if anybody has had dealings with in-laws that are not quite, you know, what you wanted them to be, or somebody that your child picked that was not who you would have picked for your son or daughter. You know, when my kids were dating, I always said, you know, too bad they don't bring that back, that you can pick who, you know, what is it? Well, you pick the arranged marriage. Yeah. Yeah. But then you get to thinking, those that I really thought would be the best ones for my kids. Now, I never really ever had any trouble with Michelle, because Michelle and Jeffrey dated when they were teenagers and on up. But with Leslie, you know, it was just like, nope, he's not good enough. Nope. Nope, you can't date him. Nope. Until she got to be 33 and she decided on her own. Sorry, Tim. I did say no, Tim, but, you know, she did it anyway. Poor Tim. We give Tim such a hard time. You know, and I don't know if your family is like our family. We are a strange family. So these in-laws that come into, you know, our home, they just kind of look at us like,
we married into this. Oh, my. But anyway, you have to pray for them. Pray for Michelle and Tim. They're kind of settling out and getting used to us. But anyway, they did not, that was not something that Isaac wanted for his son Esau. And then Esau was getting close to dying. And so he was going to want to give his promise or the blessing over to his sons. And the tradition was that they give it to the oldest son. So he sent Esau out to prepare, get some meat and some wild game and prepare it. And then Isaac was going to bless Esau. Well, Rebecca hears this conversation. And so she goes and gets Jacob and says, we got to do something about this. God told me that the younger was going to serve, or older was going to serve the younger. I feel like you are the one that needs to have the blessing. So she went out and covered Jacob with all sorts of animal hair, so it would feel like, so when Isaac saw or felt him, because Isaac was blind, that he would smell like Esau, he would feel like Esau. And so Rebecca made the meal, took Jacob in. They fooled Isaac, and Isaac gave Jacob the blessing. They leave. Scene 3 comes into play, and Esau comes back with the food and finds out that he has been deceived. Well, really and truly, Esau gave up his birthright a long time ago to Jacob anyway, when they were younger. But Esau begs Isaac, please bless me, please bless me. And so he did receive part of his father's blessing, but not everything. And so because of being deceived, Esau vows to kill Jacob. And he's going to kill Jacob after he says, I'll kill you after our father dies. Rebecca hears about this and sends Jacob away, sends him to her family, her relatives, and she told Jacob, you find a bride amongst our family over there. And so it's in chapters 36, verses 1 through 43, it'll give you a list of Esau's descendants. So if you want to see about that, but we're going to talk a little more now about Jacob and his life. So as you guys have studied this week, what's something that you found out that was unusual about Jacob or about the family there? Well, on his way, Jacob's way to Laban or to Haran, he will dream there at Bethel. He will have a dream, and Jacob will see the angels ascend as a kid when you were in Sunday school, that I can remember the flannel graph of the stairway going to heaven and the angels coming and going. He dreamed that, and he sees the Lord standing at the top of that stairway, and that reaffirms to Jacob that the covenant has been established with him through that's coming through Abraham, now Isaac, and now through to Jacob. And upon waking, Jacob will promise to serve God and protect him, and God will protect him and provide for him. It was a reassuring to Jacob that, number one, he was leaving his mama, going to a faraway land, people that he had never seen before, and God was reaffirming him, saying, I'm going to protect you, and I'm going to take care of you and provide for you. Well, once he gets to Laban's house, he meets Rachel by the well, she's feeding her father's sheep, which is Jacob's uncle. And they meet each other, and they make a plan that Jacob's going to work for him. So while he's working, he falls in love with Rachel, and he says, I want to marry Rachel. And Laban says, well, if you want to marry Rachel, you're going to have to work the 7 years. And he says, sure, I can do that. And he works the 7 years. They get ready to get married on the wedding night. Leah has been put in a switcheroo,
and he has now married Leah. And I was thinking, like Sandra, boy, to feel like all your life you are second best, which had to be rough, had to cause contention. And we'll talk about a little bit later, whenever Leah's having all the babies and Rachel's not, then that causes a lot of contention. So Jacob is fooled, and he says, Laban says, well, I'll let you work another 7 years for Rachel. And he says, okay, I'll do that. But basically what happened, a week after he married Leah, he married Rachel and worked the next 7 years for Rachel. And God bless Jacob. He will now be having babies after babies. He's going to have 12 sons. Those 12 sons will become really the 12 tribes of Israel, because in a few years, God will change Jacob's name to Israel. So he will work, and he worked with Laban up until Rachel will have her first son, which is who? Who was Rachel's first son? Huh? Not Reuben, that was Leah. Who was Rachel's first son? Coat of many colors. Joseph. Her first son was Joseph. Oh. Ow. Rachel will only have two sons, which is Joseph and Benjamin. And to basically, those were Jacob's two favorite children. Number one, because Rachel, he loved Rachel so much, and she finally was able to conceive and have Jacob. And then she had Benjamin, and when she had Benjamin, she died. You got Leah and you got Rachel. She will be Leah's his first wife. You got Rachel's his second wife. And these names become very strange. Bilhah, or something like, is Rachel's servant, and Zilpah is Leah's servant. So whenever Rachel couldn't have children, she thought, I'll have a plan. I will give my servant to Jacob, and she can have children through him, through her. And that just, again, caused more trouble. So the 12 sons, Reuben was Leah's first son. Simon was Leah's second son. Levi was Leah's third son. And Judah was Leah's fourth son. So Leah had four boys right in a row. Dan was Bilhah's first son. And Naphtilah was Bilhah's second son. And then Leah became where she couldn't have any more. So she decided to give her servant Zilpah to Jacob. Poor Jacob. He's just suffering for the Lord. But anyway. I guess. Gad was Zilpah's first son. Asher was Zilpah's second. Oh, and then Leah could have children again. So Issachar was Leah's fifth son. Zebulun was Leah's sixth son. And then finally Rachel had Joseph. And that was her first son, and then Rachel will have Benjamin. So those are the 12 sons of Jacob. Again, those were how the children of Israel, the 12 tribes, will turn out. So the reason why Joseph's two sons will become part of the 12 tribes is because Levi is where the priests will come through. And so they really, that's a set apart group. Manasseh and Ephraim, I think it is, they will come in to place of Levi and of Joseph. Confusing, I know. I'll see if I can get, Dan were judges. That's where the judges came through, was Dan. Okay. Good. See? Thank you. Google's good. Google is very good. If...
yeah, it's not always right, but good thing.
So after the birth of Joseph, Rachel's first son, and Jacob's 11th child, Jacob will ask Laban to send him back to his homeland. He wants to go back home. And Laban will say, well, please stay, because Laban is getting rich off of Jacob. He says, just tell me what you want. Just tell me what you want and please stay. And so Jacob says he only wants the speckled and spotted sheep and goat from Laban's flock. And he would tend to them as his own. We don't know how much longer Jacob will work for Laban. But because of Laban said, okay, you can do that. And apparently there came nothing but speckled and spotted sheep, goat, and everything like that. And Jacob's flock just flourished. While Laban's flock became very weak. And so finally Laban will just say, I think it's time for you to go. Because all the Laban's sons were saying, you know, he's getting the best stuff. I don't want them around. So Jacob left, and he leaves, and he will return to the land of his father and his grandfather, his father Isaac and his grandfather Abraham. And he will return to Bethel. Remember where he was at before, where he had the dream? He will return to Bethel. When he leaves, Laban learns that he has left and has taken his whole camp and left without letting him know. So apparently they even stole some family idols. They did worship idols. But God warned Laban not to harm Jacob. Laban got to him, Laban asked him why he took the family idols or Laban's God. And apparently some of his daughters must have taken some of the idols. So they gave them back. They had a truce. So Laban went back. There was no fighting or war. They split in good terms. Chapter 31, verses 1 through 36, and then it tells us about how that Jacob will wrestle with God. And Jacob is afraid that Esau is going to kill him when he gets back home, because he's promised he would kill him. And so he wrestles with God all night long, and ask God to bless him and ask God to protect him and to establish his covenant with him. And finally, God tells him he will do it. But Jacob will hang on to him until that blessing happens. And what was it that we talked about? What did God do to Jacob during that wrestle match? He touched his hip. And he limped for the rest of his life. And he'll literally will never be able to walk the same again. And I think that's a lot of times to remind Jacob, you know, I did this and I'm going to take care of you. The next day he'll meet Esau and all is forgiven. But that still, there was still fighting amongst the two boys and their families for generation and everything like that. Rachel will die giving birth to Benjamin, and they will bury her along the way as they're going to Bethlehem. And then both Jacob and Esau will return to Hebron and bury their father Isaac when he dies at 180 years old. So a lot of things in Jacob's life, a lot of things that happened later, that some of the failures of Jacob's kids. I always thought it wasn't funny. The story about how that Shechem, a Canaanite priest, wanted to marry Dinah, which was his only daughter. In fact, he raped her. And the boys, Simon and Levi, decided that they were going to kill him. And so what they did was they went to the son, the father of Shechem, and they proposed to have Dinah and the Shechem get married because he was in love with Dinah. And so they decided, okay, that would work. And they said, the only way that this will happen is you have to do like the Israelites. You have to be circumcised. So all these men in this Canaanite camp became circumcised. Well, if you all know that when you have little boys and they're circumcised as a little boy, it's not quite so bad as probably as if it would be if an adult man was circumcised. So these armies in this camp, Canaanite camp, were all moaning and groaning because they couldn't get up and walk around. And the Israelites came and killed them all. I'm just thinking, wow. what a terrible way. Why didn't they just kill them to begin with? But they let them suffer for 2 days and then kill them, you know? Anyway, that happened. Reuben will sleep with Bilha, which is Jacob's concubine from Rachel. So one of his sons will sleep with his own handmaiden. So there's adultery. There was sexual immorality in the part of Judah. Judah will have 3 sons, Onan, and Shelah. And Judah chose a woman by the name of Tamar. And Tamar was Ur's wife. He died. She did not have any kids. So the tradition is then the next brother would take the wife. And so he took her as wife. He took her as his wife, and he died before they could have any kids. So Judah told her, he goes, well, you just have to wait till Shelah gets old enough, and then I will give you to him for a wife. Well, years pass, and Tamar realizes that he's not going to give her to his son. And so she disguised herself up as a prostitute for Judah. And Judah sleeps with her. She becomes pregnant. And so Tamar comes back to her. Well, and he finds out, so he's going to have Tamar killed and burned. And Tamar finally tells him, but you're the daddy. And so there was a lot of sexual immorality in some of his boys. And then deceit and treachery on the part of Jacob. 10 sons is when they sold Joseph into slavery. I know. You know, they say the Bible is not interesting. Yeah, right, just read it. Yeah, no. I think it's amazing how that God put these things in and all, but he was just working with human beings just like the rest of, like we are. And I think we can go back on and say, you know, we messed up just like they messed up, but God still used them and all. Anyway, again, we talked about how Jacob, his name means deceiver, and most of his life was that way. He was deceiving people. But God used him, and a great nation has come through him. And saw, it's just an interesting fact as I was going through this. J- Jacob, when he was wrestling with God for the blessing, there are some things that we wrestle with God about. We wrestle with him about our past. You know, sometimes our past can cause us to not have a future. We've got to turn those things over to God and keep moving on and use those as a positive to make us grow. So we wrestle with our past. We wrestle with our relationships. Our relationships are sometimes something we struggle with. You know, maybe it's relationships at home with our spouse, with our children, with our parents. Just many things that we wrestle with in different relationships. We need to turn those things over to God and say, God, you've got to be the one that helps us through these troubled times. We wrestle with God about just things that he wants us to do. Sometimes he says, go here, and we say, I'm not doing that. No way. And sometimes we have to be brought back and wrestled and go around the mountain a couple of times, and we end back up here where God told us to go in to begin with, and we say, oh, I'll do that now. That seems so much easier than what the problems I was having before. But we wrestle with God about different life circumstances. But we've got to know that God knows who you are. Even through all of everything, Jacob's conniving, deceitful ways, when he needed, Jacob needed God, God was there for him. We got to realize that God doesn't need our help. He wants to use us, but he could do it without us. But he wants to use us, just like he wanted to use Jacob. Got to remember that God has not forgotten us when we were going through trials. We'll study Joseph next week, where he will spend 2 years in jail thinking that God had forgotten him. But he never gave up. He never gave up on God. Got to realize that God has a plan for our lives. I don't care how old you are, God has a plan. People that are preteen, he has a plan for their life. If they're teenagers, he has a plan. You're in middle life, he has a plan. If you're over 60, he has a plan. If you're 95 years old, he has a plan for your life. He wants you to do that plan. I have little people at the gardens that say, why doesn't God take me on home? And I say, your job is not done yet. And they'll say, well, what does God want me to do? I said, you bring a smile to my face every day. Maybe that's the reason why God has you here. Who knows? But until God takes you, have a plan. He has a plan for your life. And God wants us to seek his face. He wants us to come to him and seek his face. And then God will also allow you to reap what you sow. That's a tough one. Yeah. He will allow you to reap what you sow. He allowed Jacob to reap what he sowed. And so we can learn a lot about Jacob's life. What is something that you learned from his story? Not to marry four women. Can you imagine the contention in that household? Oh my gosh. Anyway. What's that? Yeah. Yeah, sometimes one choice leads to so many different directions. When I was graduating high school, I had the chance of going to work for Walmart or going to work for Kmart. I had somebody that was going to hire me in each one of them. Well, at the time, Walmart was just it wasn't a big store. But Kmart was a huge conglomeration. I thought, well, I could get probably go higher in Kmart. So I went to work for Kmart. If I had chosen to go for work for Walmart, I would have never met David. Because Kmart is where I met David at. And how my life would have been totally different. Because at that time, even though I was going to Baptist Bible College, my freshman class had over 1,000 people in it. That's hard to imagine. Because I don't think they have but 300 now in the whole school. Yeah. So 1,000 people in my freshman class. I would have never met him ever. So it's amazing the choices that you make. So, you know, sometimes I pray, why didn't I go to Walmart? But that's another life. No, I would not change it for a bit. David is who I was supposed to meet, because it's a very unusual situation on that. I was engaged to somebody else, and David was engaged to somebody else. Due circumstances, God broke both of us up with our person that we were engaged to, and during that time we became really good friends, and then friends started dating, and so it was God's leading us in so many ways. So always follow God's plan, and He will get you through that. Well, we talked a little longer. I'm sorry. It's about 5 till. Mr. Garland, would you dismiss us in prayer?